What's going on, guys? You're listening to the You Can Miss Me With That podcast. My name's Luther. Say hi to the people.
You didn't introduce me.
Say hi to the people, Corey.
Hey, people.
We just had a very spirited debate before we even turned on the mics.
It wasn't a debate.
I don't get what your problem is here.
There's no problem. It's a fact.
How is it a fact?
There is a missing demographic of hip-hop fans.
Well, I'm not sitting here disagreeing with you.
Okay, then it's not argument like
but, but you acting like... Okay, first of all...
Nobody's going to see a John Legend
stop
Beyonce
it.
Concert.
Stop it. First of all, that's just wrong. Even if you tell me if those two collaborated right now to do a tour, nobody's going to go see that tour.
Nobody's going to see that tour like they would turn out to see On the Run with the Carters.
More people go to go see Beyonce anyway in both scenarios.
That's not true.
Really?
Oh, you mean like as a...
Yeah.
In comparison to what?
Okay.
You're saying most
in
people turn
scenario,
out to On the Run
scenario,
to see Beyonce,
Like
there's more
in
women
either scenario,
going to see
both those dudes open for Beyonce if we're going by the classical concert structure. No, this is going to be the open. This is going to be the open to
yeah,
the podcast.
That's fine.
All right. So we sat there. We were talking before the podcast about Beyonce
How
and Jay-Z.
How wrong you were.
And first of all, Corey's a bigger Beyonce fan than I am. Let's just keep that 100. But
well, that's just because I got sense.
But sure, but you know, also she dyed her hair, so she's feeling a little spicy. So we call her, what do you call yourself?
Spicy. S-P-I-C-E-E. Spicy.
This is ridiculous. So we were sitting there, we was talking, and then Corey said that Beyonce and Solange just made a new song. And I was like, you think at family gatherings, like, Jay-Z step out of line, Solange, don't make me put my hands on you again. And you know... Typical banter, and I said, that's weird that Jay-Z was the one that stepped out instead of Beyonce.
It's not weird. Most men, I think there's stats that prove men cheat more than women do.
I'm probably going to agree with you because I don't know the stats, and probably makes more sense.
That's
if,
not weird.
If anything, I wouldn't be surprised if just women got away with it more than men do.
Well, yeah.
But I always, my thing with when I see that couple is just that when those two, I'm like, you're the one out of everybody in the world. Jay-Z's the one.
Who?
I just threw out John Legend. You telling me John Legend
no.
and Beyonce?
People think John Legend look like Arthur.
Jay-Z has two flotation devices on his face, bro.
Okay.
Look, I'm not... All I'm saying is that they would be a good couple.
No, they wouldn't.
How would you know that?
Because I have logic.
Also, John Legend would step out on Beyonce.
We don't know that. We don't know that.
Look at their character.
People were surprised that Jay-Z stepped out on Beyonce. I mean, it's Beyonce for crying out loud.
Look at their character. Look at their character. Look throughout their entire history. John Legend is not stepping out on Beyonce the way Jay-Z stepped out on
Beyonce.
Have
we ever heard of Jay-Z stepping out any time previously?
I don't know Jay-Z's history. Unless you want me to really look it up.
Exactly.
You want me to look it up? You want me to look up his history and find
no,
out? First of all,
I'm not that invested.
Why would you cheat? Like, you know the classical rule. Like, if you're going to cheat, you need to cheat up.
I hear that's not even really true, so it doesn't. I hear people cheat for convenience. People cheat for sexual satisfaction.
I think in a perfect world, you need to cheat up.
No. But what's up? Looks? I feel like that's subjective. Up could be anything. Up could be more available. Up could be... less demanding, less independent. That could be an up to somebody. So.
I think, if I remember the young, I don't know, remember the lady that Jay-Z stepped out on Beyonce with, it was a complete loss.
Probably. Loss. I mean, it's Beyonce, for crying out loud. That's like, really hard to follow.
Like, who would you even consider in your, like, definition of up? Like, up from Beyonce? Or even on the same tier.
I don't think there is.
Like Serena Williams?
No. They're different. I don't know.
Huh.
Up
that's
is
weird.
Subjective.
I can't think of anybody either.
Up is subjective. But that's what I'm saying. Like, people put Beyonce on such a pedestal that it's like, what? You cheated on Beyonce? Beyonce? Anybody's going to be a down compared to Beyonce. It could have been god dang Solange. And people would have been like, well, one, you're trifling because that's your sister,
like
but also,
pick.
Like...
I'd go to Kerry Rowland before
I go
Solange.
But I'm saying Solange because literally you guys have genetic, like, similarities. So you should be, theoretically, closest to Beyonce, looking like Beyonce.
Hmm.
But, like, people would still be like, oh, Solange?
Is it bad I go to Michelle before I go to Solange?
I mean, no, not necessarily.
Did you know those also are fifth Destiny's? Or the fourth one? Fourth Destiny's Child? Why am I saying this? You know this.
Yeah.
Also, that's like the greatest home field advantage for Beyonce with Destiny's Child. But, I still think it would work.
No.
How about this? Y'all tell me in the comments. Y'all tell me in the
that you're comments. Wrong, because it would. John Legend, Beyonce would crush John Legend. Get out of here.
What?
Get out of here.
We're not
Beyonce
comparing.
Beyonce twerks on Jay-Z on stage.
So you telling me John Legend couldn't handle that?
Have you heard Beyonce's music?
You telling me John Legend couldn't handle that?
John Legend can be played at church, okay?
What's wrong with
Beyonce's
that?
Beyonce's got like one good song that you can sing at church.
What's wrong with that? What song is it?
Halo, come on.
I don't like that song very much. I like, to be fair, my favorite song by her is Party.
Interesting. I just knew you were going to be a total dude and say Me, Myself, and I.
No.
Okay.
How dare you?
Well,
Party's a great song.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
I'm going to need you to talk a little closer to the mic.
No.
Then the people won't hear you when you talk.
I feel like I project my voice, though.
Can you at least move it closer?
But then it'll fall off the desk.
No, it won't. There's a clear... There's at least 5 inches.
Why can't you
you're
let me live my life
You're just being spicy for no
here.
Reason. Also, you didn't even do anything wrong. Have it point up the way it's supposed to.
It is pointing up.
No, it's not. Look at how mine is compared
it
to yours.
It literally can't go any further. What, like... What? I don't know.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Basically...
Technical difficulties. Excuse the noise, guys.
Moral of
suddenly
the story.
Wants to change my mic.
Moral of the story, or moral of this debate, I think John Legend and Beyonce could work.
No.
We could even name anybody else.
We didn't try.
Andre 3000?
And Beyonce?
What's wrong with Andre 3000?
I definitely said caliber of person.
You tell me.
No. Would you put Eric Badu and Beyonce in the same category of people? No.
I could use your argument. They're two different people.
Exactly. Exactly. Jay-Z and Andre 3000, same category of people? No. Exactly.
I think Andre 3000 got more bars than Jay-Z.
That's not what I'm asking you. Are they in the same lane?
So who would you classify Jay-Z's tier then? You said Diddy.
I said Diddy.
But we don't agree with Diddy. No.
I'm not saying that.
The minute Diddy started taking his son sloppy seconds.
No, that was your argument. That wasn't my argument.
Diddy started taking his son sloppy seconds, and his son's damn near 25 years younger than him. Nah.
I don't know what you want me to say.
Man's not even a good judge
I'm,
of character in terms
caliber
of...
caliber of person who can be on the same stage as Beyonce and not be washed by Beyonce.
Everybody getting washed by Beyonce.
Yes, theoretically. But at least Jay-Z, people consider him the greatest rapper of all time. He is literally the greatest rapper of all time to certain people. No one's saying that out about John Legend. People like John Legend, but no one's like, oh yes, can we please play Green Light?
Oh, so you go to the one pop song that... No. He has more
I'm
songs
short on
than
songs.
That.
I don't know.
Well, you look like you don't even frequent John Legend.
It's John Legend.
I don't understand.
You have to be in the mood to listen to John Legend.
I don't understand why John Legend sticks in your craw so hard.
Because it's... I like John Legend, but it's... grossly stated that he was an equal for Beyonce. That's all I'm saying. I don't have a problem with John.
No.
I'm just
first
saying.
First of all, let's start right here. Nobody nobody is an equal to Beyonce. Like I told you before, in the classical
but
structure.
That's not true, though. Simply not true.
So Jay-Z is her equal?
I mean, they're literally married, so...
You know what I meant.
And it works.
Stop being spicy.
People
you know what
literally
I meant.
Would say, Beyonce's my favorite artist of all time. People would literally say,
so,
I think Jay-Z
yeah, so
the is
person
the greatest
who buries,
of all time.
So, my thing is, so you're using, so he has to be the same caliber of artist that he has? Does
caliber
he also have to
person,
have the same caliber of success?
But also, like, the lanes that they have chosen because of their artistry has allowed them to grab
So do they have to be musical
things.
Artists then?
No, not necessarily. Are they the greatest in whatever they do?
I'm just asking. What if it's an athlete?
Are they the greatest in whatever they do?
Would you be mad if it was like if I said a white dude?
I wouldn't see it.
I don't know. This is dumb. There's our open where I think John
wrong.
Legend and Beyonce
wrong.
Could be a great couple.
Real wrong.
They could be a great couple.
Wrong.
No.
You a just, good couple you, of friends. A good couple of cohorts. A good you're out couple here of like, artists.
You out here acting like he's Ghost when he kissed her twice at that basketball game. Nah. You disrespected John Legend right now.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm just saying. He is with who he's supposed to be with, and it's not Beyonce.
Oh, jeez, whatever.
She loves Beyonce.
I think
that should tell you
I think
enough.
Almost everybody does.
That should tell you enough.
Almost everybody
She's
does.
She's like a
Beyonce
stan.
Loves somebody, too. Like, who's an artist?
Like who?
I don't know. I don't keep up with Beyonce stuff. Now I'm frustrated. But we were going to talk dating misconceptions today, right?
Okay.
So on my way to here after I picked up your Subway.
Don't tell people I ate Subway.
You ate Subway. What's wrong with Subway?
Don't do that. It was a moment. It was a moment of desperation.
Well, we couldn't get Jimmy
I don't
John's.
Regularly eat Subway, people.
Jimmy John's. This is the first time I've had Subway in at least a year.
Let's just go. Let's just speed past this part.
Okay, fine. So, in the course of getting her food, I decided to change it up. We're going to talk about the Rona, as you call it.
Okay.
COVID-19, better known as the coronavirus. Because where, at least where we work, state of emergency in Kansas City. No more than 1,000 people can be in one place at once.
Yep.
That's real. It's like, people don't really know what's been happening. I've been reading a lot of stuff. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, doing all this stuff. But things got real, was it 2 days ago when Rudy Gobert, the NBA basketball player, caught that Rona. And then he spread it to his teammate, Donovan Mitchell, who now has that Rona. Tom Hanks and his wife have the Rona. They actually think Trump got exposed to somebody who had the Rona.
I mean,
well.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Also.
That's just good karma.
So how you feel about the coronavirus so far?
Wish I would have been prepared for this conversation.
That's exactly why I did it. I like having you think on your feet.
I might not have anything to say about it. That's not already been said.
I think everybody's saying something, but it's just your interpretation.
I think it's crazy.
Are you even gonna try, or are we just gonna?
You asked me, and I'm telling you.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. So just kind of. Did you watch Trump's
no
little thing?
No. I don't watch Trump.
Oh no. Pop the thing out. My mic's messed up. Can you fill time while I fix it?
Why are you talking like that?
Because they can't hear me. Fill time.
No.
What do you mean no?
That was like 2 seconds. They were fine. They didn't even catch it.
It was more than like 2 seconds.
It was like 2 seconds and a half.
They're not even hearing me anymore. Bruh. Stop. I'm pausing the podcast. And we're back. I listened back to it. You can hear me well enough. I'm not changing it. But
I wouldn't imagine that you would.
But the only reason I'm bringing up the coronavirus today, I think right now is a really good time, even though we technically don't have all the facts yet, which I'll probably do another episode on it. I'm bringing it up because we're both former college athletes. I think we're still both athletes. You're more athletic than I am. I'm just gonna lay out on that. But this week, or the week that was, completely changed, whether it's sports or society, because this is kind of like our generation's first chance to kind of see something like this just kind of take hold of everything. Because in terms of sports, it's just straight up ground, like the sports world to revolve. The NBA, obviously, the NBA postponed, the tournaments were canceled, so... For all you guys can say y'all have perfect brackets because you didn't fill out one. All NCAA spring sports are done. I just saw that they suspended recruiting for football. NASCAR postponed. The NHL postponed, which is bad. I was actually going to go see my first St. Louis Blues game next weekend. First time going to go see a hockey.
Thought you was.
I was actually very, very excited. Like,
this is what happens when we, as a country, decide to be reactive as opposed to proactive.
So that's why I want you to listen to another podcast before we do this. I want you to look, actually, no, I want you to look after we do this. So, you know who Bill Simmons is?
No, a white dude.
But you just need to listen to this episode. You don't have to listen to his whole podcast. Just listen to this episode. Homework. Which sits down with Malcolm Gladwell, and they talk about the virus. Like what it does, worst-case scenarios, debunking some myths. And you just need to... I think, first of all, everybody should listen to it because you just... Don't be difficult. Please? Please.
I'm not being difficult.
I'm just saying.
I get a good dosage of Rona talk every single morning when I listen to the news.
I think,
and it's depressing.
Yes, it is. While I think,
and every single podcast that I listen to has talked about the coronavirus at some extent. Mm-hmm. So
I just think people need to relax, but be cautiously optimistic. Like my mom, she's a medical professional. So she calls me and she's just like, "Yeah, I don't think they're telling us everything." And I was like, "All right, mom, let me stop it right there. Right. I'm driving to a school right now to go do my job. I don't need you not freak me out." I already don't trust some of these kids.
So. I mean, but is this not like any other disease that we've ever kind of come across?
I don't know.
I think we have far more access to other places, so now we're able to see it in live, in real time, and like see just how quick it's spreading. But I don't necessarily believe that's it. Supplies and hand sanitizer. We're constantly talking about washing our hands when that's something that we should just be doing regularly. I don't
understand how come all of the toilet paper in the tri-state area is just gone. Like, y'all walking right past the soap to the toilet paper. Taking all the toilet paper, all the things. Like, where I live right next to a Target, Hy-Vee, Price Chopper, and a Walmart. I mean, people can hear it.
My feet are cold.
I don't know what you want me to do about that.
My feet are cold.
Can you put on, like, the lowest setting?
I think it's on low.
Then, look, people are just going to have to deal with it then. Or are you just going to have to... How about you feel like something warm on your feet? Like, cover your feet up.
I'm in Uggs right now.
Corey, I don't know what you
okay,
want me to
do. Okay, fine. It's fine. I'll just
tell me what you want me to do, and I'll try my best to do it.
It's fine. I'll just freeze over here.
Oh, you'll be fine. You have more layers on than me. You'll be fine.
What does that mean?
You should be warmer than me.
Because our body temperature is just the same?
Also, you have more layers keeping out the cold.
Typically cold. Are you typically cold also?
I don't know.
Sounds like a no, then.
I don't understand how
you're
we got
not
here.
The same. You're a Martian.
Can you stop being spicy?
No. What?
This podcast is going off the rails. Off the rails.
Well.
What?
Oh, come on, guide us, conductor.
You know the worst part is? I want to go home and literally think about it. The John Legend, Beyonce thing for a while.
I don't know why. The truth is the truth. And the truth stuff set you free.
No, because you just put such a staunch resistance to it.
Because it would not be John Legend. It just would not. Nobody's going to the John Legend, Beyonce concert. Are you crazy?
People are going to that concert.
No, they aren't.
You tell me if John Legend...
Does John Legend go on concert by himself?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
I could check and probably see if he does. Hell, most artists don't go on concert by themselves, including Beyonce. Somebody opens for her.
No, not always. No.
I just wanted to talk about the Rona. But now we're talking about Beyonce.
You brought that up. I don't...
Fine. Look.
Don't be... You mad about something you could change.
Fine.
Just admit you were wrong. Get it off your
I will not, because this is it's a subject. It's not even. It's
Beyonce
you can't,
and John Legend would not make sense, and that's okay.
And there's a parallel world right now where they're killing the game or whatever
not.
It is. Also, probably another parallel world.
No, they're not.
You cannot just take that statement. I mean, you can. Oh my God.
Nobody's doing that with Beyonce. Are you kidding me? No one's going to that. No one's like, ooh, I bought my tickets for the John Legend Beyonce concert. Are you crazy? Are you kidding me?
I kind of just want them to announce a tour and then we'll just see.
Are you kidding me? It's a festival that Beyonce just so happened to fit in her schedule, and John Legend was also at the festival. People didn't show up for that, though. They didn't know. It was an accident.
I'm going to pivot back to the road. I'm going to pivot back. You're so passionate about it that we'll just talk about it off. All right. The only reason I want to talk about it, or one of the reasons. Also, stop buying all the toilet paper. Like, I had to buy some off Amazon. Also, this is a great time to invest in stocks if you feel like it. Things are down. You over here looking at flights because they're cheap as hell. Also, I read an article where a lot of millennials are like, screw it.
Yeah, I'm going to die.
If I die, I'm going to die.
Yeah, I want to die in the Bahamas on the beach somewhere. Not in Kansas City.
So, also bring up that podcast story about with Bill Simmons and Malcolm Gladwell, because they talk about, like what you said, America is too reactive to not, and they bring up Taiwan and how Taiwan, like mid-January, was like, I think we might have a problem.
Yeah.
And they were legitimately, by the end of the month, they're producing 10,000 masks a day.
Yeah.
They're already doing preliminary testing. They're already doing, what is it called? Social distancing.
Yeah.
Which is, and then, it's crazy just kind of think, like, we could have done this a lot better. And that's the only reason I brought up Trump's speech, because I'm like, I didn't need you to be, I get it, you're yourself, but, like, you needed to be a leader today.
He doesn't know how, because he's not a leader.
I'm like,
you can't expect people
figure
to do
it out.
Things
fake
that
it. Fake it today.
Do not come natural to them.
Fake it today. Like, to the point where, like, even I'm watching CNN and all these other shows, and they're like, I'm like, my dude, this is why you were elected president, to be able to make us feel better and not have the stock market.
He literally said, oh, it's just a myth. The corona is not a real thing. It's not happening. Then, I got my boy Mike Pence on it, and
also,
good.
First of all, why are you going to appoint...
And then you walked it back.
Why are you going to appoint the vice president? What does the vice president... He's a governor of what... He used to be a governor of Indiana. What the hell does he know about infectious diseases? There's a reason you... We have a, what is it? The CDC? Appoint the dude who runs that to watch the virus.
You
but
can't expect him to do things...
Don't just throw... That's like, all right, Corey.
Campaign has been nonsense.
That's like, all right, Corey. I got to break loose in my car. I'm gonna put you on that. I know my college roommate can fix it. I know he can, because he's a literal mechanic. But I'm gonna put you on that, because you know we're friends.
I would say no.
Well, I'd like to believe that in this scenario, I have the power to just like just
no,
you know,
no.
Yeah, but you're also being difficult today, so it's a lot of bad like. And then now people are saying, like, what is it? Bill Simmons asked this question, whether are we more like China or are we more like
we are like...
And the most like, experts.
Still neither. I mean...
Technically, they say we're 2 weeks behind Italy.
Italy is literally paying off people's mortgages. They are closing down shop. I mean, they were late to the party.
Like,
but
they,
still.
You can't go to Italy. Like, they just like, we good. We just gonna lock this whole thing down over here. And then a famous soccer player there got corona. And ironically, he's on the same team as Ronaldo. So now people are like, oh my God, does Ronaldo have it? And then listen to some of the stories where they're literally deciding who to save and who not to save, because they just run out of beds and run out of space.
Yeah.
So while the disease is more harmful to an older generation than us, because we're in the prime of our lives, and apparently... You should read those articles or you see those headlines on Facebook where black people are more resistant to the to the virus. Is that actually true?
I mean, I just have not seen...
Or is that just
seen,
black people like we...
I just have not seen reports stating black people have died from infections or from the disease, so I don't know.
I wonder why.
I feel like there's been a lack.
I wonder why we're... If that is true, why we would be more resistant.
Because we're resilient people, obviously.
You got any other cliches that you want to throw out?
That's not a cliche. That's a fact.
I'm just saying, like, Brazilian people, like, we've been through... I know it's
sickle
a
cell.
Fact.
Come on now.
I know it's a fact.
Developed for survival, okay?
Developed for survival. That's,
yes.
That's a t-shirt right there. That's one of your first t-shirts.
Our hair, come on. Shrinks up our neck. Why? Because the sun is hotter where we come from.
So, also, the day of Trump's speech that Sanjay Gupta on CNN, America conducted 8 coronavirus tests that day. Just 8. And the fact that the NBA has a better testing procedure than the rest of the country, I should tell you something. Like, don't be downplaying this thing, bro. So, like, every other country messed up but us?
I'm not downplaying it.
No. Maybe I should, like, Trump or the Trump administration.
I'm just saying that is literally, when people elected this man into office, beyond the terrible campaign that this man ran on bigotry and ignorance and, like, inciting very clear lines in the sand, people never would have assumed that we were going to be in a space like this.
Like, this legitimately threw a wrench into everything. And this is like the first. The only thing I can kind of compare this to is like 9/11.
Yeah.
Where like the whole country just kind of like. And I think me, I was 8 years old, couldn't speak English during that time. And obviously, I wasn't even living in the U.S. So I basically missed it. But listening to the stories, like, so like the week after 9/11, George W. Bush went to like a baseball game to throw out the first pitch, and people are like, what if they're not done? Like, they're literally worried for his life. Is he just gonna go out and throw out the first pitch? And that's like the whole country ground to a halt. Like, we're getting, like, in terms of the stock market and the economy, we're getting terrible numbers since like the 78 recession, where they ran out of gas and all that because OPEC put that oil embargo. So it's just like, all I'm saying is, Trump, whether you get reelected or not, now's not the time. I know what you're saying, and I know I'm just beating a dead horse here. Literally, the look on your face says it all. But you have to understand and recognize the situation that, like, you can't. I don't know. Like, you can't just downplay this.
Who forces accountability for the person who literally gets rid of anyone who forces him to act like a president? Who's going to make him be a president when he has literally cleaned house? The people that he brought in, who were initially like, I'm on Team Trump. And the moment they started getting a little bit of morality, just a little realistic saying, like, okay, this is getting a little out of hand. Now I'm a whistleblower, and now I'm no longer working in this position.
No matter what people think about, like, his politics, whether he ran, where he's been a great president or worst president, I think everybody can agree, at least I think everybody should be able to agree on this part. This has been handled terribly.
Right.
Like, if we did this the right way, if we literally followed other things, like, China, I think, has more capabilities in this way. Like, it pops up in Wuhan. Like, a week later, they build in hospitals.
Right.
Put people up. I don't know if we have that ability here. Like,
well, that's way easier with their government structure, of course. But, like, still, like, this. The leader of our country has literally scoffed at the idea that this was a situation at the outset, like early off the rip. And there is no one there to service the checks and balances for him. There's no objective party involved, individuals that are involved to say, hey, I am still Trump very much, but also, hey, this looks like a real thing. Maybe we should try some things.
So because it seems like when I look back, every election, we have like some kind of outbreak or some kind of medical.
I mean, there's thing been something on. That's came every mm-hmm. 2 years mm-hmm. since like 2010.
So
there's been a thing.
Listening to Malcolm Gladwell on that podcast, there's an annual like flu meeting where medical professionals from all over the world gather together and like, hey, here's what we've been seeing, kind of reviewing the notes on the flu and things like that. And then if they see some, because they have different testing sites all over the world, so they bring their data to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the guy who, one of our top, one of our top, I guess, experts on this, medical experts on the coronavirus. So he's been mm-hmm. literally screaming it from the rooftops. So they have Pence come out and give that weird kind of explanation or speech on how the country's doing, and then they had to have the freaking dude, the expert, go on Capitol Hill and basically contradict. So I'm like, get Pence out of there, bro.
Who's going to do that?
Like, you are not, you've appointed the wrong people, America has reacted terribly, and then even to the point where they're saying probably 70% of Americans are going to have some sort of the Rona. Like,
he even said, who is going to do that?
Like, odds on, like, Bill Simmons has a few kids. He's like, odds on, man, your son probably has it. Because, you know, kids are walking Petri dishes and they nasty. Like, they are. I mean, first of all, they don't really, it takes time for them to understand the hygiene part. You know, why it's important to take a shower, why it's important to do this, why you shouldn't be licking your hands and going, just because you signed a TV show, you know? Like, so it's just the fact that it's kind of, when as he talked, I was like, man, we probably like walked by someone at least who's had it. If it's popping up the way it is in the country.
I mean, possibly. I mean, you can't even get tested. If you check the CDC website, there's literally 3 symptoms, and that could be any basic common cold.
So I'm sitting there like, if we're, like, you know, we always see America, we're the best country in the world, this and that. We shouldn't be, if we're gonna follow that.
We are not the best country in the world.
If we're gonna follow that.
I think we're literally number 17 on the list of best countries to live in. I think we're number 17.
Number 7? That's a weird
one. Canada is like number 3. It's literally right upstairs.
The prime minister, his wife has the Rona.
It'd be like that sometimes. Mm-hmm.
But the healthcare, they'll take care of her.
Yeah.
So but I haven't even heard like Mexico don't have problems.
It's too hot. It's too hot in Mexico.
Also, have you seen those Facebook videos? Of like when they...
Of course not. I don't get on Facebook. Are you crazy?
Oh my God. They've been hilarious. But we should have responded better than this. We should have taken this more seriously.
We should have done a lot of things differently, but...
We was over here just laughing at China. Acting like we don't owe China trillions of dollars. Like, if China came to collect, we got problems. But like, we were just laughing at them. Like, ha 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 ha. Now China, like, China... Their deaths or whatever their cases are going down, while the hours are only getting ready to go up. So now China's gonna be like, now who got the last laugh now? Scrub.
I'm sure they're always thinking that, but it's the way that we are. We are reactive by nature. We always have to watch as an example and see how other people respond and then decide once it gets closest to home, close enough to home, then it's like, oh, okay, got it. We're not apart.
Also, there's like a ton of misinformation going around, which is really, like, I get the same feeling about this that I felt about the Kaepernick situation, which, like, when I did that giant episode on, like, what a waste, like, that whole situation was when the NFL gave him a workout and then just all the misinformation flying around. Like, guys, for real, just search your sources. Don't be just, like, liking it or... sharing some stuff on social media just because you see your friends do it. Like, you need to find the actual experts.
That's where we live in. That's the time we live in.
You're out here sharing misinformation. Like, it's like the thing when I get frustrated, even though it's dumb. Like, you see the headline that your boy shared, and I'm like, oh, man. But maybe I'm one of the few who clicks on it to read the story, especially if I find it interesting. And I'm just like, oh, no, it's nothing like that at all. Or, no, let me talk to the people. Like, maybe I'm different because I literally sat down and watched the top medical expert, his whole entire kind of thing on Capitol Hill. But also, we got with social distancing, if you think you do have it, you got to quarantine yourself for up to 14 days.
But even that, how are you going to do that?
If you can, maybe if you came in contact with somebody who has it. And I understand.
But I'm saying, like, yeah. People are, where are you going to be quarantined to or at? People are thinking that you can stay home.
So, I mean.
And quarantine yourself. And
I think, obviously, people with more means, they quarantine themselves. Like, let's just use the Utah Jazz. So, the Jazz, where the player is from, they basically just bought out a hotel and quarantined themselves, different rooms, all that. But
yeah, but what about average Joe out in Johnson County? Probably has a family or is living in close contact with people.
So
like,
that's why I'm so curious to see how we handle it from now, because I still think, mind you, we've handled the prep terribly. I think the next action steps within like the next week or two, we need to be very intentional with where we put our resources and what the next steps are, is what we tell the populace. Like, besides the fact that we just need to be able to get the ability to test, and obviously testing for everybody, when because then they're talking the most at-risk people, obviously the elderly whose immune systems don't work like they used to, the homeless people, because they don't have a place they can even go to spend the night, let alone defend themselves against the virus. And then, like, to kind of bring it back to sports, like, let's use the NCAA tournament, which got canceled, right? Mm-hmm. So then you have the people who work those. It's like the loss of wages by those, like, where there's concessions, the security. Obviously, the coaches, even though they're killing the game, they're fine. But there is also all those little, like, the little things that make the NCAA go together. Mm-hmm. All those people's roles who, obviously, they're never gonna get on TV, but they make sure that the tournament works right. Those people who rely on that income, like, the NCAA makes basically $1 billion off the tournament. The guys' tournament every year, and if that means, and they were trying, man, they were like, man, we're gonna play these games without any fans.
And also, you mean basketball?
Sorry,
right?
Okay. Basketball.
Women's sports matter, and there's several women's sports that matter.
I understand, but let's not sit here and pretend like the NCAA men's tournament pays for a lot of stuff.
I mean,
it just does. It's demand, mind you. I do love watching volleyball. Well, thanks to you, and also the fact that Jesus Christ, y'all just be shooting at y'all. I'm like, I don't even want to attempt to get down and stop a spike, let alone set and all that stuff. Nah, I just love watching it. It's incredible. Incredible to watch. Softball,
you're getting on a tangent.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop.
We need like a buzzer.
That's actually a great idea. Mm-hmm. That somebody can press when I'm going too hard. So, with the NCAA literally being the last one, like, the XFL is like, we're going to suspend games before the NCAA does, and which only harps on the perception that it has that you don't really care about the kids, that you really want this money, which I get it. Money's a part of everything. The fact the NBA is taking a massive hit.
Yeah.
The NHL, all these people, I feel bad for the athletes who, like, just in terms of basketball, like, your senior season, like, that's it. Like, even UMKC, the girls, I think won the best records in their school history. They won the conference for the first time, the women's team, and they're in the semifinals to possibly get a bid for the women's tournament, and that's it. Just they cancel the tournaments, so it's tough. I'm wondering.
But it
how.
Takes things like this for us to really start to emphasize and internalize just how impactful these things are. If we would have taken the necessary steps early, I don't think it would have been as tragic as this. Like, we probably could have put more things into, okay, instead of just cutting it off completely, we've already started working on backup plans. We've already started giving ourselves the leeway to say maybe in a couple of months we can resume and we can have this thing finish.
So most leagues have said, we'll wait a month and see what happens, right? And then I think it's just the fact that it's literally hit us like a ton of bricks. Like,
yeah.
Literally hit us like a ton of bricks. We don't really know what's going on. How this could potentially just completely rearrange society. Like, Bill Simmons, he obviously he's a sports guy, so he brings up sports. So the first thing the NBA did last week and 2 weeks ago was limit media access to players. Because Rudy Gobert may have it. And then, obviously, he passes it on to a reporter who asks him the question. And that reporter passes it on to other reporters. And they have this big Sloan conference, an analytics conference, which basketball people go to every year. So one guy, which I was listening to on Fox Sports Radio on my way here, he played one-on-one against Rudy Gobert right before he went to that conference. So, you know, maybe he does have it. And then he goes to the Sloan conference. He passes it on, if I remember the story correctly. But then now he's isolated himself for 14 days against it, you know, away from his family. And then you never know. So if he had it, he passes it on to this long. And then, of course, those people go all over the world.
Right.
It's just how, and then Bill Simmons is wondering, so now that we've lost that access to players, and now, and you know how people, society kind of reacts to things. So how this could change potentially how we view sports, how this could change society. Does this mean, I wonder, but how long before we kind of go back?
Just to even think how important we've put an emphasis on, like, sports as a country, I feel like, is literally blows my mind. Like, there's no platform that's really talking about schools when kids are in these spaces with multiple children every single day.
Well, to be fair, they went on that said podcast how schools are starting to close, like our school district closed. But also next week we have spring break, so we're going to be basically closed anyway. But one of the top medical experts actually argued against closing schools because in terms of it's a central place where we could keep, let's just say damn sure a kid gets infected, right? And we try to catch them while they're there. We could treat them at the school instead of we send them home. Obviously, then we do the same thing with it. It affects their parents. Their parents affect other people. So it spreads. So it gives you like a centralized location to possibly test and treat the infected if possible. In a sort of quarantine.
But still a very specific demographic of people that are least... at least at a lower risk than ever. But I'm just saying, like, in general, when I listen to it on the news, mm-hmm. I feel like I hear a great emphasis on, like, national sports as a whole. Like, I feel like when I listen to news about the virus, I get, oh, this is happening. This is how many people are infected over in China. This is what's happening in South Korea. And then I hear Italy. Then I hear USA, NBA. Or all sport, like, or sports in general.
I think, I mean, you know how news...
That is just wrong, though. But I'm saying, like, that tells me the priority that I feel like we have started to turn into.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you there. But also, there's been a change in news media where they're being physically threatened. Like, the way we used to consume the way we consume news media has completely changed. So in order to keep your attention, because the attention span is lower, you need to talk about things that are going to grab national attention. Rudy Gobert grabs national attention. And also that literally puts it in people's faces. Like, if a professional athlete who's presumably...
more likely to be susceptible to being at risk in traveling out of the country.
But then also, like I told you, it's the damn near ramifications of it. That one reporter plays one-on-one against Rudy Gobert. He goes to a conference. And dear God, those people go all over the world. So it's just like, it's not even, if we don't even do that, Rudy Gobert played against Boston last Friday. He played another team on Monday. Then Wednesday he was going to play in Oklahoma City, but he was sick. So he wasn't at the arena. So by that point, since we know he had it, and now we know another teammate of his has it, and that teammate felt great. He's like us. Prime of his life, didn't feel anything because probably the symptoms haven't come on yet. He was literally shooting half-court shots, warming up for the game. And that one was probably the last game they were going to do when all the fans there. That's 30,000 people going wherever the hell they're going in Oklahoma, or maybe they were visiting from out of town. So that's why I understand your problems with the news coverage on it. But that's going to grab headlines. That's going to be like, hey, blah, blah, blah. But also, I think the media is doing a terrible job of keeping people calm. Because there are some literal people who are freaking out right now. Even to the point when even my mom, when I told you, she's skeptical, like, you're not telling us everything. What are you hiding from us? I think it needs to be presented to both you and me and Josh and regular people in a way that we can succinctly understand what's kind of what's going on and what the next steps are, so that we're not just out in Costco or whatever buying toilet paper. All the toilet paper.
Right, but I'm also, I think my issue truly is just like, if we want to raise alarm, sure, we can make it, we'll blow it out, we'll put it on this pro athlete, on this elite level, on this national stage, and the impact of 30,000 in one sitting. But also, I feel like that, like, the local news, the educational platform, healthcare as a whole, like, that is the reporting that needs to hit headlines so that we can start to, like, almost pressure accountability from leadership.
Don't mind me asking, how much local news do you watch?
I'm pretty in tune.
See, I think I'm
but just in general, even if it's not just tell me about KCPS and Hickman Mills and Wyandotte County, if you could tell me as a nation what we're doing about the educational safety for children, what we are doing on a large scale for our hospitals, for medical professionals, what we're doing for the elderly and assisted living, what we're doing, again, like, in informing us, like, okay, toilet paper is not going to solve the issue, but here are things on a national level that would. These are the things that we need to know, not just washing your hands and sing your ABCs. But those, that's what I'm saying. Like, those are the conversation that needs to be highlighted more than just, I get it, the NBA is going to gravitate certain people to that. It's going to make the headlines. However, that, to me, does not seem like what I would use as leverage for our leadership to say, like, hey, no, this is really actually a problem.
Okay, so what would your, okay, let's say you're appointed in, or whatever, or Trump calls you and say, all right, so what do I do next? What are the things that you tell him? What are you, what do you think should the next step should be? Because if you want, I can go first.
What I just said. Okay. Those are the places. Those are the things that we need to talk about more. There's so many students that are international students that come here and go back home to wherever that may be.
That's true.
Those are higher risk situations than talking about the students in schools. Not that they don't matter, but tell me about the colleges. What are we doing? There's so many that are closing. And
I don't like the fact let's just use Harvard example. So the Ivy League was kind of one of the first major sports organizations to kind of close down, right?
Okay.
So just kind of letting you know. So Harvard, probably just couldn't stand that because it's Harvard. They told their students at the beginning of the week, you have until Friday to get out of campus.
Right.
And they, my problem is, first of all, Harvard, you're already under basically this, you just finished this lawsuit where you were accused of discriminating against Asian Americans because at one point Harvard was becoming more and more Asian American, had a bigger Asian population. So that, I think that lawsuit just got taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So now you are kicking all these people out because you want them to still study because it's midterms this week in Harvard. You still want them to study, but they have to Friday, I think it's 6, to move out. Okay. Some people can go home. What about, like you said, international students? What about the kids who don't have a place to go, who literally rely on Harvard to feed themselves? What about all those? You, first of all, you're Harvard. You need to have these damn situations figured out. You can't just be basically looking like you kicking out kids on the street.
Like you said, not having access to regular means of feeding themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have steady jobs a lot of the times, but like, we don't talk about the effects of things like that. Like, there's so many schools that are closing, and like I said, there's so many people that won't have anywhere to go, or they can't go.
I think it's just the fact that
that's something that should be on the main stage.
Let's keep using Harvard. Look at the optics. You're still taking their money, right, Harvard? First of all, they did not even stay in a full semester. You kicked them out probably a little bit past the halfway point of your semester. They're gonna take the full room boards. And then, how are you gonna? The worst thing would be, so now you have a kid on the street. He's just sitting there, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You should be able to provide, because these are, students are your lifeblood.
Yeah.
You don't, and you have a, I think they have a $6 billion endowment fund. You can pay for some students. You can pay for some hotels and some places for these kids to go.
I mean, even if not, you could literally quarantine the campus.
That's what I thought. I think it would be better for them to quarantine the campus.
You could literally do that.
If you're worried about staff, then have the staff teach from home.
You could literally do that. And
that's what I always say. Like, if you give me a scenario and I can figure out a better solution than what you came up with, you're doing it wrong. Because I shouldn't be able to.
Those are the conversations that need to be had.
I'm not in crisis management. I'm not this. You are literally paying people to figure out the situation.
Yeah, but you need people to figure out a situation that will still support what you're saying and also won't completely discredit you as
quarantine again.
Leader.
You literally just
but I'm just saying, but that's what I'm saying. But like, you have people that are behind you that are literally going to do exactly what you tell them to do, and they're going to do it up to a point where it's not going to completely discredit who you are and risk them losing their job. So I'm going to tell you it's bad, but I'm not going to tell you exactly how bad it is. Maybe we should do something, but I'm not going to tell you exactly what. But that's what I'm saying. Those are the conversations that we need to have, because like, I can just think back to when I was in, like, in college, and I'm just thinking of how many people actually had health care insurance. Like, if it had not been for the school, would not have had health care insurance, would not have had access to a medical doctor, would not, like, luckily we had the health clinic on campus, luckily they had Aetna and all the things, but, like...
Do you think the conversations that the virus or the Rona has now, how do you think the conversations about our systems are going to go from here? Because if anything, the virus has exposed a lot of problems within our systems, whether it's obviously with sports or with healthcare.
I mean, these have been problems that have been existent always. The fact that we're just so behind and so prideful on admitting when we're, like, beat is now when we're, like, starting to show, like, oh, we got some issues going on in our systems. But these are things that have always been prevalent. Like, think about, like, housing crisis here. Even, like, specifically in Kansas City, right? Think about, like, the evictions. Think about people who are without utilities. Even in the wintertime, you know, people are still going to continue to have babies. People are going to continue to, like, need things. And this has only just started to show in maybe a little more intense light. But these are always situations that have been flawed. The crisis has always been the crisis.
I think shining a light on these things, that if the right person talks about them, because this, depending on how this goes, this could be, this will obviously affect the election.
Yeah. But
this could, in a way, save or doom Trump's re-election bid.
I mean, think about if we would have had, like, the impeachment hearings and proceedings taking place during this moment. The potential that that would have had for the Republican Party to step up and say, okay, wait a minute.
I see where you're going. My thing is, I have this dumb kind of idea or theory, like, I wonder if 5 years from now, 10 years, let's just say, basically 2 elections from now, or let's just say, for some reason, wherever the Democratic nominee goes, let's just say he wins his term, maybe he wins 2 terms. So now we have a good distance away from the Trump time in office. I wonder how the Republican Party would be looked at in that way. Like, will they just kind of go back to the status quo, what we had when, you know, we just had your regular politician before Trump came in? This rhetoric changed, the way we talk, politics changes, the way, I think, for a while, conservatives could play the victim in terms of politics.
I think this is truly a...
How quickly would they dump
one
Trump
of one
to the
situation,
curve?
I feel like this isn't something that readily would be replicable, but I'm thinking, I feel like they're probably going to swiftly go staunch,
like,
conservative.
Yeah, we know we had him for 4 years, we're just going to...
Yeah, like, I think it was just party loyalty that overall, like, we're not going to, who are we going to side with? Not the liberals. Not the Democrats.
We can't just find a way to make a compromise.
Heck no. We're not going to admit defeat. We're going to, you know, we're going to distance ourselves. We'll reprimand them behind closed doors. But as a party, we're going to let you know he bleeds red. That's what he put down. He bleeds red, and so do we.
I'm really curious to see the conversations that we have after this. Because what a time for something like this to happen. And it's already how it's even just going to affect things that are coming up, like the Olympics. Probably the Olympics are probably done. They're supposed to be this summer. If anything, you just move into next year. That's telling you the Olympics are done. What if this keeps going into prime election season? Because technically, when we really should have been doing moves to prevent this from happening, or at least contain it, we were watching Bloomberg get murdered on the stage by Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
That's what we were doing.
Yeah.
And then him complaining about that his sign in Flint that was, like, was tagged. I'm like, my man, you, sir,
I mean,
you can fix that.
That itself tells you just where we are as a country.
Like, you can fix that. Like, you can fix that and probably write it off on your taxes. You could literally fix the Flint problem right now.
He literally could have threw those millions of dollars that he wasted.
At one point, I was like, I can't watch anything on YouTube. I'm trying to figure out a graphic design tutorial. I can't watch it without 2 15-second ads of Michael Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he...
What a terrible first impression to the nation in that debate. First of all, Warren was going for everybody's neck. But I'm just like...
I'm so bummed about Warren.
I get that from a lot of people.
I'm bummed.
A lot of people... I'm worried for Biden a little bit because of his stuttering problem and how Trump will just...
Biden, I think, is not mentally sound. I just don't...
He's
the strongest of the two just because he's moderate enough that he could probably swing a couple of votes, but...
It has been crazy kind of see the swing.
I think he has Alzheimer's.
I mean, Biden has had a lifelong stuttering problem. To the point where, they showed, to kind of illustrate it, they showed this clip of Biden. He's talking he's talking at a rally, and he looks like he forgets Obama's name, mm-hmm. like while he's talking. But really, what he's done, his method is, I'm either gonna try to replace the word real quick, or I'm just gonna straight up hop past it. If you get what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like my boss. It looked like he was gonna say my boss Obama, but he just couldn't get the Obama out, so he immediately just. Moves on after like a quick pause. But I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm like, Trump has found a way to let you guys are debating. He's gonna turn this into like a Yo Mama joke show. Like, he's gonna attack when he was able.
But that's
to,
only because that style of politics has worked
and it,
for him.
Yeah, and I think you can't just be old regular, like, this is how I'm gonna fix the country anymore, especially with Trump as your opponent.
Yeah, and I mean, Biden certainly has done the work. However, the strategy of yelling over people and yelling your point louder does not work.
To be fair, look at how the debate went, the Democratic debate. It was literally most of it was just Warren yelling at people.
I'm worried.
While I don't know if I agree with you enough that Biden is the stronger of the two.
I think he's stronger as far as getting votes, like getting the votes of older people. Getting the votes of people who absolutely, no matter what the party loyalty is, do not want another Trump term. I think he could get those votes a little bit more than Bernie could.
But there's also this weird thing where Bernie has, it seems like most of his base are people our age and younger.
Right, but did you see the results?
And most of them didn't go to the polls.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But I'm also like, every morning when I listen, like, I'm listening to a lot of the talks about the caucuses and other Super Tuesdays in other places. And, like, literally, we're in a space as a Democratic Party where we, or the Democratic Party, is literally looking at people as chess. Like, where people are, like, calculating, like, who's going to get the best votes. Like, if it's down to Trump, if it's Trump and Biden, there's more of a chance of people that are conservative or moderate Republicans that they could swing that vote. Like, he could swing those votes versus a Bernie who's far off.
Well, I think just the fact that if Bernie and Trump were in a debate, and when Trump starts yelling and making fun of him, like the fact that they keep bringing up that he honeymooned in Moscow, that's the big thing to attack Bernie right now. Because you can't call Bernie out on his civil rights because he can just keep
All
showing you pictures.
All you can really say is that the Russians like Bernie as the Democratic Party. That's all you can really say.
Aren't they also like Trump as well?
Yeah, no.
So
that's
it looks
what
like the Russians are just hedging their bets.
Yeah. No. That's what they're saying is like it's a bad thing because the idea is Bernie is so socialist that this just folds right on into our agenda. It's totally fine. And then Trump is Trump.
And then to kind of see the different swings, like before, a couple weeks ago, before the primaries, right? Joe Rogan comes out, endorses Bernie. Bernie's killing it. And then I want to understand how Biden got this commanding lead.
It's older people. It's older people.
Mind you, there has been more voter turnout this year. than previous years, because I think both parties have stressed how important this election is to everybody, but also just like to kind of see like the incredible, because it was like Biden, then it was Bernie, then like Warren, then Biden, then mm-hmm. Biden's like, nah, check this out, let me hit the speed boost real quick, now I'm in the lead. Mm-hmm. And
it's literally a play on the plight of what we are in. I feel like a lot of younger people, which is kind of crazy to me because you would assume to be this generation to be one of the highest educated populations of people currently.
And then we finally outnumber baby boomers in terms of voting
and suddenly potential. I'm seeing like this air of like hopelessness. Like I feel like I'm talking to more people that are my age that are like, it's not gonna matter. I'm like,
I think maybe because we're old enough to really start making big decisions in terms of where our country's going, and we've just been fed. It seems like we're being fed the same old in terms of politicians that our parents they were okay with.
Right.
So who's the new age politician? Is it somebody like a Trump per se? Like who's out of the norm? Who's not really presidential material? Like the fact, like remember, Trump wins. The Rock and Kanye like, I'm gonna run for president. Just the fact that you could say that.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, well, at least The Rock would be tough. We at least would technically have the toughest looking president around. Even though Putin, I think, eats a bear in his spare time. Kanye, I'm like, man, you gotta figure your own life out, Kanye. Like, you're a little weird. It seems you got a lot of erratic behavior going on. But maybe Kanye's finally who he truly is. Praising God and all that. So
I blame the surgeon of his mama. Yeah.
And I'm only bringing all this up because I wonder how much the coronavirus will affect all of this. Whether the Democratic Party can like unite, and then their easiest attack of 45 is like, look how he handled the virus, the situation.
I mean, there's so many stumbles that he has so blatantly had that it's yet to stick. So maybe this is the one. But also I feel like
the ways in which
he's already ran his term, it's always, whatever the reason, it's always been able to be not detrimental enough that it can slide under the rug. It may take a little time, but we'll just kick it right under there.
It is crazy to think of all the things that we kind of just like, we found out this is how he feels about women. We found out this is what he does with women.
Literally, on the campaign trail.
With his business deals.
And still not enough.
You know, we found out that he spent the most public money ever on luxurious trips with all his weekend visits.
First 100 days, he spent like 70-something at the golf course.
And just going to his own golf course.
Just lying.
So he's paying himself. We also found out that there are literal charges by the state of New York, like, Trump, when you're done being president.
It's still not enough for us to say as a whole, like,
We found out that he used a lot of divisive rhetoric in terms of race.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, God, 10 years from now, when we look back, oh my God, we let Trump say this about women. We let Trump say this about veterans. We let Trump say this about like activists like Colin Kaepernick. We let Trump say this about.
Of course.
Oh my God.
Of course we did. Because he is speaking to a very specific population of people who didn't think it was okay to be this way in public and now have a mascot so that they can wholeheartedly support and call it patriotism.
My favorite is when they get caught and then they like, okay, let me give you another one. So one of my friends on Facebook, I know you don't like it, shared this story about this judge who she was accused of having an affair with a black sheriff. Mm-hmm. And then she denied it and they caught her on tape like basically just blasting the N-word out about this dude. And then, like, of course, there are calls for her to resign. And she's like, no, I'm not resigning. Like, it's not going to make me resign. And then, of course, I think it turned out to be false. If I remember, I saved it. The cop's like, now you know who she truly is. You know, the fact that they get caught or they give that BS excuse
What was false?
Like this, that they were having an affair.
Oh, they weren't having an affair, but she definitely was saying.
Like, no, they got her on tape calling this dude the N-word like 4 or 5 times.
Got it.
Like, just like, yo. Now the fact, like, yeah, I know what I said. I'm not resigning. Yeah. I'll find any other way. And then
there's a safety net for that.
But we've also seen the other way where, kind of like a reverse, where in terms of cancel culture. And I think things that, mind you, society evolves. So things you said 10 years ago, in a perfect world, like things you said 10 years ago aren't going to fly today. But then they're also like seeing videos like this trend, especially with transgender population, where this transgender female was shooting her shot at some dude, and then the dude was like, nah, I'm not interested, you know. First of all, and then she went on Facebook and be like, oh, that was messed up that he didn't, that he denied me, or he didn't react to my advances the way I liked, and things like that. I'm like, first of all, even if you were just a straight up female, like, I'm not just supposed to, like,
a difference. And I can't wait for us to, like, start owning into it a little bit more. Like, we are a soft country. We're just culture, just in general. We soft. It's like, we have gotten so far into, like, being, like, respectability politics and being politically correct that we often have, like, skipped over, like, what is a joke?
There has been a huge correction to one side.
What is okay with preference?
What do you think is going to make us swing to the middle? Is it just our generation getting older?
Because
you
know how I also don't think cancel culture really exists. It's a, like, a 24-hour to 72-hour stint. And then everything goes back
depending
to
on the person.
Who's been canceled?
I could bring up a few, but...
Bring some up.
I think the person I'm going to bring up, like, Louis C.K. So, Louis C.K., he was part of the Me Too movement, because... Mind you, I'm not sitting here saying he was right. He was out here beating his meat in front of women. Mind you, was he touching them or anything like that? No. But getting lumped in with Harvey, who just got 23, going to die.
That is still also not okay.
First of all, that's wrong, bro. Just do it in the privacy and comfort of your own spot. Don't bring other people in there. Don't do that. Even though Harvey going to die in jail. They gave him 23. He's going to die.
And didn't he just get moved to the hospital wing?
He was perfectly fine at the beginning of the trial. Then all of a sudden, this walker came from somewhere and his health deteriorated. I'm like...
I feel like I just read that he was in the...
He truly believed...
And they just moved him to the medical wing.
Yeah. Like, he truly... And he still has another case in California. Mm-hmm. And he truly... I think just in his mind, he couldn't, like, and accept that he was going to jail. If they asked for 5, like, the minimum sentence, like, nah, man, you're getting 23.
Wrong is wrong.
And then...
you can't be like, ah, he was terrible and he did these bad things, but he's old, so
like,
comes back.
You have literal incidences of, like, Brad Pitt, like, he knew that when he was dating Gwyneth Paltrow, and he tried to do that with her. And Brad
really
Pitt...
white culture.
Jesus Christ. So...
I mean, I heard it.
Like, he confronted him, like, went up to his hotel room, like, you do that again, I'm gonna kill you. Like, literally threatened his life. Yeah. And since then, you know, Harvey be like, nah, I'm gonna go do something else. But just the fact you had multiple women coming
and
he reaches out to, like, Jeff Bezos, Tim Cook, like, a whole bunch of big, like, I need, like, for private support. And those emails got leaked. He's like, I'm in a bad way. I'm like, my man, you was out here for 30 years thinking you couldn't do anything wrong.
And
you
for
got
30
caught
years,
up.
He went unchecked, so that's why.
And
but that's that.
And I sat there like, it's crazy that he was able to kind of get away with that. Just the fact that, Brett, you literally knew, you confronted him, you knew that he was doing this to people. At that point, you're still Brad Pitt. What, nobody's going to hire you?
I think we can attest to that spirit of like, okay, well, it's not my business. I handled my part, and...
Like, what was it, that story where... it was actually put in the Netflix documentary where this girl was getting assaulted outside of her building. There was a whole bunch of witnesses, but all the witnesses are like, they saw other witnesses looking, so like, oh, they'll take care of it. And it turned out nobody called the cops.
So she ended up getting killed. This is an old case?
Yes. It's an older case.
I can't think of what it's called. But there's a documentary about it on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
I'm going to have to look it up now because it's a name. It's a something. the something effect.
Nobody really wanted to be the one to take the plunge. And then now so many women got hurt. So many women got assaulted. So many women possibly lost it. And if they said no, you know, they'd lose their careers or anything like that. So it was, oh, God. This also, this virus, since we're kind of going back into all the things that the virus could.
Kitty Genovese?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
They also said something like, that's not true. Some of the stuff is not accurate.
I mean, I think for the documentary, they might have dramatized some stuff.
No, I feel like they were saying, like, the amount of people who were, they originally said were witnesses. It is kind of
hard to believe that if it's above 40.
Was not true. And something about, like, the crime didn't actually happen the way they said. Like, they said it happened on, like, it actually happened, like, as she crossed the threshold of her apartment or whatever, got into the building. Mm-hmm. So people didn't actually see it. Mm-hmm. But neither here nor there.
Also, things I keep thinking about, how the virus could affect us, how we watch media. So, like, are we getting any new movies now? Since, you know, there's basically the country's going into this.
I like state old of movies. New movies are crap.
Hmm. You're just a unique individual, huh? Spicy.
What's the last good movie you saw? Exactly. See? Movies has gone downhill.
Queen Insulin. I want to go see that one.
Okay. Mine is Black Media.
Who's it? The Queen and Slim was, like, the dude from Get Out was in it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
The photograph was good, depending on who you ask. But I'm saying Black Media is different.
I like the marketing direction behind that, but it could affect how we do media. Like, all I'm saying is
it's going to affect everything as long as we continue to play catch up.
I'm literally sitting there like, what can it not touch?
Nothing. We're in a society where we are very accessible. All the things that we want are, like, require some type of social interaction. And even not, if not that, like, we're getting things delivered to our house. No one's wiping down their packages. No one's, like, checking to see the path of where the packages are coming from. No one's, like, we just...
So I've seen some businesses take.
Let it fly,
if it don't fly. Yeah, I've seen some businesses take kind of precautions. Like, let me use WrestleMania. It's the fake wrestling thing. So they're in Tampa, and Florida's kind of going through its own thing. They basically gave the WWE a week to kind of figure things out, whether you're going to move it, because it looks like Tampa's going to be like, nah, you're not going to have this. It's also like the WrestleMania is like the Super Bowl for that part of that industry, and it's not just the main company itself, WWE, that goes, like, there's a whole bunch of international promotions, you know, obviously people from all over the world come to it, and it's like, it's a great way that WrestleMania makes money for the little guy, the little promotions that hold their own stuff. So they've already moved tapings, because the way they're kind of working, they do their tour, so around WrestleMania they're going to be in Florida a lot. Oh wow. Sorry, she just gave me the...
Why can't you just be discreet? Nah, if I wanted them to know, I would just say it on the air. See, that's the problem. That's right, see? No. All right,
look. So basically, making money for the little guy. And the way that kind of tour works, so since the thing's in Florida, they're starting to move toward Florida with all this stuff. They're already moving tapes, they're already doing this. But it looks like it's basically going to be canceled. Anyway, I really like those glasses. Are those new?
New-ish. Had them for a couple months.
I told you I need glasses, right? I just need to do the plug.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But anyway, in the future, yes.
I'm gonna let you wrap up.
Yeah. I guess basically.
You just do you.
I guess basically just, like, relax a little bit, guys. Please listen to medical experts. Don't just listen to what your Joe Blow says on the street. I gotta wrap up because, you know, we all got things to do, places to go. If you're going out this weekend, just don't. The bar ain't going anywhere. The hot girls at the bar ain't going anywhere. Like, it's all right. You can stay at the crib. I just bought a new video game and I'm watching some of my favorite shows on Netflix came back, so I'm gonna be thoroughly enjoying myself.
Harlem Nights is on Netflix.
What?
Harlem Nights.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh.
And all of the Police Academy movies.
They've been bringing the heat lately, probably just because of Disney Plus.
More money.
Well, Disney Plus, man, they gotta bring the heat. But, you know what's the one? What's the one freaking reality show on Netflix that people like? The dating
Love
show.
Love is Blind.
Yes.
Or The Circle.
Have you seen it?
Love is Blind.
Yes.
What's this?
A lot of people, it's in all my mentions. Like, yo, you gotta see this, or you gotta check this out. You gotta check that out. So, yeah, fellas, ladies, the bar ain't going anywhere. The club ain't going anywhere. You don't need to wear them high heels to like. Basically, for the next 2 weeks, just don't wear them high heels. Just stay home, you know. Mm-mm. Tell them, Corey.
Nope.
Tell them.
They gonna live their life, young butterflies.
And catch that corona.
Yeah.
Nah.
You only live once. After
nah.
Brexit.
Nah. Nah. Not like this. Now you got so quarantined because you gonna go out, you gonna catch it, you gonna give it to somebody else. So you selfish. You out here basically conducting biological warfare.
You're not wrong, but...
Well, either way, I'm going to go home because I got things at the house. I already stocked up a little bit, so don't forget to stock up, Corey. Toilet paper, you're probably going to have to get it from Amazon, but like...
I'm not stocking up on nothing.
I got the dot to take care of me.
You know, everybody's not able. We are born strong, okay? Yeah. Born strong.
All right, so, guys... I just need to wrap this up because we've actually gone a lot longer than I thought. Follow the podcast on Facebook and Twitter at YCMWT. Corey, do you want the people to follow you somewhere?
You can follow me on my newest platform. It's called Who Loves the Black Woman. Sorry, I lied. It's Who Loves the Black Woman because we all need love.
I know. Corey's actually been plotting here for a few weeks. And I'm actually very excited to. She showed me a little bit what she got going on. Corey. She ain't playing around out here. She ain't. So, say goodbye to people.
Hasta luego.
Bye, people. Take care of yourselves. Wash your hands.
Stay moisturized.
Stop buying all the toilet paper. There's just more than other people besides you. Also, what if you go, like, buy toilet paper because you actually need toilet paper? But it doesn't matter. I'm out of here, guys. Stay safe. Love you guys. Wash your hands. Stay away from the corona. Just stay at home. Don't go to the club. Bye. You think they're just gonna go to the club?